Good, you're welcome to the house of God on this His day as we come to worship Him. And we sing together our opening hymn. This is Mother's Day, so 689 seems to be very appropriate. When mothers of Salem, their children brought to Jesus, the stern disciples drove them back and bade them depart. Let's all stand to sing. Amen. You may be seated. Every Lord's Day, we read a psalm together, and Psalm 63 is the psalm for today. Let's hear God's word. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes, but the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. May God bless the reading of this psalm to every heart. We want to bow together and seek the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we're here to worship Thee, to extol the name of Your dear Son, especially the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we now come into Your presence and into Your house. We come to praise God, from whom all blessings flow, to acknowledge Your mercy to us every day. We can proclaim in the words of Scripture that the Lord's mercies are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. We thank You for the measure of health and strength that enables us to be publicly gathered together in God's house today. We thank You that before we came to this house, the Lord was here. We think of the greatness and the immensity of His presence, how that He is everywhere. This whole universe knows the presence of God. Well, we know that He makes Himself known. We know that there are times when He draws near, and there is a very definite conscious sense of His presence. And Lord, we know that that is so when we come to meet in the house of God. When we draw near to Him, He draws near to us. And so we pray that You'll sit beside every worshiper in this service, that You will stand beside this preacher as we seek to conduct this time together and come later to Your word. We pray for the pouring out of the Spirit of God. We thank You that the Spirit of God was given in manifest power on the day of Pentecost. He was always in the world from the beginning of days when the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters, as we're told in those days of creation. And we think of those Old Testament prophets that we read about who were filled with the Spirit of God. But we thank You that He came in greater measure on that day appointed, that day that the Old Testament prophets spoke about, when the Lord would pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. And on the day of Pentecost, Peter was able to tell the people that this was that which was spoken of Joel the prophet. And he's been in the world since, moving and governing His church. Thank Thee for days of evangelical awakening and revival and reformation too, when the Spirit of God moved with power. We know that we stand greatly in need of such a time again. Lord, will You not visit this land? Will You not move in the might of Your power? Send revival, Lord. Send revival to my heart. Help me to live in the power of the Spirit every day, to be a witness for Thee wherever I go. And Lord, we pray that the fire of God will fall. We know that nothing catches more than fire, and fire will spread. And that's what happened in the 1859 revival. And that fire spread throughout County Antrim and into the other counties and even further afield. And throughout the United Kingdom, indeed, there was a great awakening. Thou art the same God. Our God knows no change. He says, I am the Lord, I change not. And so we come before the presence of the One who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we plead for the mighty demonstration of Your power. We thank You for tokens for good. We thank You for those little droppings of blessing that You send our way from time to time. And Lord, we know that every time we meet, we're blessed. But there are those times that are special. And we think of Tuesday night when so many extra children came to the children's meeting, and that little boy who stayed behind to seek the Lord. Lord, in this we rejoice. And Lord, we've heard of another dear lady from our Ukrainian church getting right with God last Sunday night. And we rejoice in that also. Our God is still in the soul-saving business. Lord, will You move again, even this very day? Thank You for our dear mothers in this congregation, those that have families and those that are mothers in Israel. We thank You for all that they do as they serve the Lord, as they seek to be that righteous and godly woman of Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman. Lord, we pray that You will bless them, especially this day. We remember the sick of the church, those that are in hospital and those that are in need of Your touch here at home. In the church today, we think of Lydia, and we commit her again to Thee. Bless her, we pray, as she continues to receive the treatment, make it effective in her body. Thank you for Friday night and the installation and ordination of Jonathan, and as he has his first day in Mount Merion today. Lord, we pray that it will be a real high day in the service of the Lord there. Bless him and fill him with your power as he preaches your word. May this be a good Sabbath as he commences his ministry there. Bless all our other students and those that have come through the church here and gone to serve the Lord in various parts of the world. May they know your portion also. Hear these, our prayers. Answer our cries in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to sing another hymn that speaks about our homes and what kind of homes we desire. It's the hymn 747. Oh, give us homes built firm upon the Savior, where Christ is head and counselor and guide. The rise is soon. You will know that this is a very special day, and it would be remiss of me not to mention Mother's Day, when we have so many mothers here, mothers who have families, mothers who are mothers in Israel, mothers who are mothers in this church, even in our children's work. And we thank God for every one of you. And we expect the children and the grandchildren to treat their mothers extra special well today. Isn't that right? I was just passing through the congregation this morning, encouraging even husbands to be good to their wives today. And I was speaking to that man right down at the back there, Tommy McConaughey. And Tommy said he's going to wash Sharon's feet later on today. So I said, Tommy, you're going to do more than I'm going to do. But if that's what Sharon likes, she's got her hands over her face now. So Sharon, I hope you enjoy the experience later on. And if any other mother would like to have that experience, I'll give you the address where to go, and you can have that. Anyhow, on a more serious note, we think of what the Word of God says, and the Word of the Lord says, who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. And there's a lot that is said about the virtuous woman. One of the texts that stands out for me is, she stretches out her hand to the poor. Yes, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. And then very especially when we think of ourselves as husbands, and as we think of our children, we're told that her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Sorry, I don't have the Ukrainian version, but I think you know what we're saying today. And we trust that every mother that's here, every lady that's here, in your own right, a mother in the church, and a mother to your family, that the Lord will bless you. You see, the picture is one of daffodils, and right at the end of the service, we want every mother, every lady, in fact, every adult lady here to get a little bunch of daffodils. And Wesley has some children organized from the Sunday school, and they're going to give you that on the way out. All right, we did that. We've done that for a few years. Can I bid you welcome in the Savior's name to the house of God? Do that very sincerely, all that are in the building here. We have some visitors with us. We have Isaac from London, and we bid him a special welcome. We have Anastasia, who was away for several months back in her homeland of Ukraine, and she has returned safely. So a special welcome to you today. And if I'm right, and my eyes are seeing the Reverend McMillan and his wife there at the back, we bid them welcome also. And all other visitors that are here, if you're not normally here, maybe you're here today because of Mother's Day. May the Lord bless you. Now, tonight is the gospel service at 7, and I want to preach on the way of life everlasting in heaven. We meet for prayer before that. If you can join us at 6:30 in the church hall, we'll be gathering together to seek the Lord. Our gospel service is at 7. Refreshments will be served after the meeting for those who can stay. And then tomorrow morning, it's the Hebron Tots at 10 o'clock. And on Monday evening, it's the Sunday School Teachers Prayer Meeting, and that's at 8 p.m. Tuesday night is the Youth Challenge at 7 o'clock. Just a few left now before the children break off for Easter, and then that finishes the term. Then at the end of June, there's a special week for them, and then in the month of August, we'll make mention of that later, give you the details when they have their youth challenge in the summer. We pray also for the schools ministry every week. Practically, we are in the schools. Tuesday is the William Pinkerton Memorial in Dervik, and Wednesday's the high school. Greg will be responsible for that. And Thursday, we're back in the model for the Scripture Union that we've been doing each Thursday afternoon, really enjoying that time. Thursday night is the midweek service at 8 o'clock, and we think of our youth ministry this Thursday. Friday night is the Sabbath School Social. We would love everyone that's here to come and bring somebody else with you. We want to support our children in the Sabbath School, and this is one way that you can do it. Even if you don't have children or grandchildren at the Sunday school, we want you to be here on Friday night at 7:30. The classes will take part and supper will be served. And we do need the ladies to help out with this. If you can bring 3/4 of a loaf of sandwiches and 1.5 dozen buns. You know, I had somebody who listens in to the internet, and they always find it strange. They find it amusing when we say three quarters of a loaf of sausages. You know, why not half or why not a whole? But there's a reason for that, because that's the right amount that we need for Friday night. Ladies, please help us out. Saturday morning sees us in the center of the town for our open air at 11 o'clock. Next Lord's Day begins with the prayer meeting, 8 o'clock, and the Sunday school, 10:30. Bible class, quarter to 11, Phil will be dealing with the second part of his message on Peter. The worship service then, 12 noon, gospel meeting at 7, preceded by prayer and refreshments will be served. There is a gospel mission starting today in Coleraine. We want you to pray for that. If you have a free night during the week, go along and support the mission. It's each night at 8 o'clock, and the Reverend William McCrae is the evangelist. This is the wee invite to our Sunday school social. Make it known. Invite others to come. And then maybe just to mention this so that you can plan towards it. You will know Dr. Bill Woods and went to be with the Lord earlier this year. Served for decades in the land of Brazil. Well, there's a new professional film that has been produced that's entitled, very appropriately, Do Something. And this will be shown here at the church on Thursday, the 4th of April. That should be, I've just noticed it says March there. Your pastor's not perfect. But April, so you just change the word March to April, all right? And if we start advertising this, make sure we get the mistake rectified. Anyhow, Pastor Victor Maxwell will introduce the film, and he'll be here, and we look forward to it. Now, if we have sound, I have a little trailer, is what they call, just showing something of what you'll see that night. And we want a really good turnout on that Thursday evening.
I was just an ordinary boy, brought up in a working class family in a parlour house in the Ravenhill Road. I went to Orangefield Primary School and I got the cane every day because I couldn't learn my spellings. She made an appeal and said, all the young people, you come to the front and say, I'm here, Lord, if you want me, send me, I'm willing to go. And I was one that went forward. So I went home and told my parents, I'm going to work in the mission fields. My father said, mission fields? You'll be lucky if you get as far as the potato fields. At the end of my first term, the staff called me into their sitting room and they said, don't come back. You'll never make it to the mission field. Yes, I remember when the boat came into Belém, we got our first view of Brazil. And the first thing that struck me was I saw a sign for Coca-Cola. I couldn't believe it, you know. For me, it was an adventure, the trip to Brazil and all that. It was worse for the people at home. I went to work in a very small town called Canatama. And then I discovered in almost every house in that town, there was somebody who had met, was hidden away. Some of them were afraid they were going to be taken prison and put in the leper colonies. I knew that I didn't know anything about medicine. I had to do something. But I've always found it very hard to talk to people personally. But one thing I did always and everywhere, in the headwaters of the river, I had a box of Bibles with me. And the phone rang, and it was a doctor from Dundana. He said, I got the result of your blood test, and you have to see a hematologist tomorrow. It's very urgent. And yet the Lord has done so much for me in my life, and it is the Lord, and I don't want. He has to have all the glory because I was nothing, just the Lord stepped in.
You see, it's coming in May. We're getting it early. We're getting it in April. I think the sound will be better on the night, so do make it known and come. There are children's camps organized by the Mission Board, and this is the United Children's Camp. One will be on the 29th of July, and the other one the following week, the 5th of August. And if you want the details, you'll find them on our Mission Board site. If you need anything in addition to that, please do see us or see Jonathan, and he'll be able to give you details. We're asking you to pray for the conference in Romania at the end of this month. We hope to travel there in the will of God to have a conference with the Roma churches in Buzău, and also to visit the poor families and some of the projects that we're involved in. We've also been asked to mention this in the Crumlin Road jail. You might think that that's a strange way to spell jail, but you know that's the old way of spelling it, and that's the way the advert has come to me. And there's two testimonies. It's going to be done interview style. Victor Maxwell will interview the Martin brothers. So you'll know the Reverend Thomas Martin and his brother David. And that's on the 11th of May at 1 o'clock. There is an admission to that. If you want the details, I have the poster. We'll get it up onto the board. But you can plan. It'll be a very, very good afternoon. And for an additional fee, there's a tour of the jail if you want to have that. We'd like to extend our sympathy again to Samuel and Elaine Johnson and their family on the death of Elaine's mother, Mrs. Young, who passed away during last week and was buried. She's with the Lord today, and so do the family. We offer our sincere sympathy. We also extend our sympathy to Eamon and Annette Keane on the death of Eamon's brother-in-law. We've been praying for them in this difficult time. And then I've been asked to mention that Let the Bible Speak need volunteers for the new shop that is in Ahuachl. And you'll see from this list, help is needed for sorting donations, steaming clothing, serving customers, cleaning the shop, restocking, pricing items, removing cardboard, etc. to skip, and also help for serving coffee and tea, pastries in the cafe, and full training will be provided. And if you're interested in that, there's a demonstration on Saturday the 16th of March at 11 o'clock that morning. So please keep that in mind. If you want more details, Jonathan McCauley can get them to you. On Thursday night, we had a visit from Crown College. I was in Tanrugee at the Christian Workers Training Academy, but I hear that the meeting was very good, and the young people came from the Bible College of Crown and had a service here, took part by way of testimony and preached singing and preaching the word. We've been asked to pray for a young student that was there, Sonder Bart. Sonder took ill actually on Thursday night and had to be taken into hospital, was let out the next morning, but he took ill again on Saturday and has been taken into Antrim Hospital. So remember him. They're doing tests to try and find out what's going on. Please continue to remember Kirsty from our own church, who studies with Crown College. And remember the McCauley family as they prepare for Uganda. Remember the Hamilton family preparing for Kenya. And also Elizabeth Edwards also preparing for Kenya. And just last evening, we were sent some pictures of the ground that is being prepared for David and Rachel's accommodation. So right next door to the school there at Emmanuel, there's the school wall. You can see it in the new property that we've purchased. The ground is being cleared to erect the new house that is going to be built. So pray for that project, please. Pray for Hebron Tots. They had, by all account, a very good time last Monday. They did a little preparation, I think, for Mother's Day today. And so we appreciate all our workers that work so hard in that ministry. We mentioned Youth Challenge, and at Youth Challenge on Tuesday night, the Lord was very gracious. He brought in 25 new children, and a little boy called Joshua professed faith in Christ. We say to God be the glory. A couple of the schools that I was in on Friday morning, we can mention there in the Eden, and then also in Kilmoyle, and we had a lovely time. We think of the project that has been financed. This is the tree planting project. Various fruit trees have been planted so that the poor people of that area can receive food when the harvest time comes. And it is their intention eventually to have 200 trees planted in that particular site. You remember the lady and her family whose house was destroyed in a mudslide, and they were living in a container provided by the local government. This is a little property that is being constructed for them now. In Romania, and we are thankful to those who have helped with that. A new ministry, you heard this on Tuesday night, the first meeting with the teenagers, three of them from the Campina Church and five from the Roma Kids. So we're very glad about that. They're learning John 3 and 16. That was the challenge that we put out, and you'll hear them now reciting it all in That was my challenge. We said, if a child could learn John 3 and 16, which is the heart of the gospel, it's a summary of the gospel, we would have a special prize. I'm told there's at least 15 here, so I need to start buying my chocolate bars to bring to them, God willing, at the end of the month. We had a great night on Friday night. It was the ordination and installation service of Jonathan Story, member of this congregation for many, many years before he got married and went to Lisburn. But it was a great night for us as a church, as Jonathan was ordained to the Christian ministry. And these were the men that took part at the service, and a photograph of our elders with Jonathan. We are delighted. We congratulate him. We pray for him today, especially on his first Lord's Day in the work. And Lauren, too, and their little ones. So this is the Story family, and then on the other side, the Cunningham family as well. And I was sent a few other photographs, so if you're in them, they were sent to me, and we rejoice. These were the four choice young men. Way back, in fact, Mervyn shared two photographs with me, this one and also one 10 years ago. There's a wee bit of a difference between what the fellas looked like 10 years ago, but these young men we've been praying for, and many of our young people want to see our young people getting involved and serving the Lord, and these young men are seeking to do that. And of course, another way to take a photograph is this way, isn't it? That's the modern way of doing a selfie. And then Raymond and Ann as well. But you know, there's an upcoming preacher. Never thought I would see that wee fella in the martyr's pulpit. But there he is getting ready to preach the word. And of course, we need preachers. Maybe Noah will be like the Noah of the Bible. He was a preacher of righteousness. Great day on Friday, because Friday was also the 95th birthday of the Reverend S.B. Cook. He taught me in college all those years ago, probably taught other ministers, many of the ministers, and the Reverend Stewart's here. You probably sat under his tuition as well. And he's reached 95, and we're told, as the officers of Presbytery visited with him, that he was in a very clear mind. And that's tremendous, isn't it, really, at 95? So we pray for the Lord's servant and his wife. They're both now in a home, being cared for and looked after. And then we continue to pray for those that are on the prayer list, remembering also the land of Ukraine and praying for the land of Israel. And just one other announcement to make, and that's concerning a leaflet that Ian Brownlow shared with us this morning. It's really to do with the abortion issue, but you take a leaflet there, and there's a wee piece to fill in and send to your local MP just to seek support for the preservation of life, and there's some copies there on the table as you leave. We bring our tithes and offerings into the house of God just now. It's Building Fund Sunday, remember that. We sing together 390, Dear Savior, Thou art mine, how sweet the thought to me. Let me repeat thy name and lift my heart to thee. Well, keep our seats. sing verse 3, making it the last verse. Seats. We come again to Mark chapter 11. The message today brings us to this passage of scripture that we're going to read together, reading from verse 20 through to 26. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And the next two verses are our text for today. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. May God bless the reading of his word to every heart. We're going to bow together and seek the face of the Lord just for a moment or two, please. Heavenly Father, we still our hearts in your presence as we come to your precious word. And in our worship today, we have sought thee in prayer. We have sung the praises of Zion. But we're always conscious that when we come to the reading and the preaching of your word, it is the central part of any time of worship. Because here we are at your feet and we want to learn from our God. We want to hear what you're saying to our hearts. And so we pray in a very special way you will draw near, that you will help us to concentrate and think upon these things, and that you will open our hearts to the message of God. And Lord, give me the help to bring it and fill me with your spirit now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll see how we get on with the message today, if we have enough time to get through the subject. Maybe not, but we'll see how we get on, for time is already rushing away. But you'll remember last Lord's Day, we were dealing with faith and prayer. And now we come to these other verses that we've read, and it is forgiveness and prayer. These are two essential ingredients, if you like, of successful, powerful, prevailing prayer. Do we obtain from God? Do we have power with God? Do we see definite answers to our prayers? Now, we know from Scripture that there are certain elements, if we can call them that, or factors which must be found in our lives if we are to have confidence at the throne of heavenly grace, where we are invited and summoned to come, and to know that our prayers are received and accepted and answered. I want to have that kind of assurance that Solomon had in 1 Kings 9 and 3. I have heard thy prayer, the Lord said to him, and thy supplication that thou hast made before me, I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to my name there forever. That was the dedication of the temple. And as Solomon came before the Lord in that great prayer of intercession, the Lord came and said, I've not only listened to you, I've heard your prayer, I'm going to answer your prayer. I want to have that kind of assurance that Hezekiah the prophet had, or the king had, when the prophet was sent to him, the prophet Isaiah. We read about it in 2 Kings 19 and 20. That which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. Wonderful thing. Whenever you pray, you get that kind of assurance in your heart. God says, I've heard your prayer. I want to have that kind of assurance that Zacharias had when the angel of God told him in Luke 1, verse 13, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. And we know that the father of John the Baptist and his mother were old, they were well stricken in years, the Bible tells us. She was past childbearing, she didn't have children, and yet God is now saying, I've heard your prayer, the prayer that Zacharias had brought before the Lord for many, many years, and maybe a prayer that he'd even stopped praying. But now God is stepping in, and there's a wonderful answer to it. Now, what are the qualities, or the virtues, which must be found in us, which guarantee successful prayer? Well, we know that we are to pray in Jesus' name. When the Lord gathered his disciples together the night before the cross, and he's sitting there at the table, and he has instruction to give them, listen to what he said about prayer in John 14 and verse 13. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And that's verse 12 through to verse 14. You know, praying in Jesus' name, it's like presenting somebody else's check in the bank. You get the money, not because that you have the money or you have the credit in the bank, but you get the money because of the other person. And if you are refused, you were not dishonored. It's the person that's dishonored because they haven't got the money to cover it. And that's just what it's like when you come to pray in Jesus' name. You're coming with his check, if you like. Remember Spurgeon wrote a book, Checkbook of Faith. Not only must we offer prayer in Jesus' name, but prayer must be offered with an obedient life. And keeping with what John had to say on this matter, this time we turn to 1 John and the chapter 3 and verse 32. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22, rather. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. We receive, why? Because we're living obediently to God. We keep the commandments of Christ. We do the things that please the Lord. And so there's a very close connection between obedience and answered prayer. Holiness of life, surrender of life to the Lord, conformity to his word. If I know of some sin in my life and I'm not prepared to part with it, if I'm living in disobedience and I'm not prepared to rectify that, whatever it is, it's going to hinder me in prayer. Another element to keep in mind is that prayer must be offered according to God's will. And we come again to 1 John. This time is chapter 5 and verse 14. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Now it goes without saying that the promises whatsoever and anything must be in keeping with the will of God, must be in keeping with the glory of God, must be in keeping what is good for you. doesn't mean that we ask anything in the world. It's like, Lord, I want to be rich, or I want to live in a mansion, or I want to have £10,000 left to me. I want some other thing that's a worldly thing. No, God sees the ruin that some of these things would bring to us. It's neither for his glory or for our good. And so maybe that's not the will of God, but we're thinking about what God's will is, and it's important as we pray to know the mind of God. And then, as we saw last week, prayer must be offered in faith. And we read it here in Mark chapter 11. I needn't read the verses again, but verse 22 to 24 is dealing with the subject of faith. Asking in faith means to believe that God has said, it's granted. It will be done. It is to believe that the answer is coming. It's on the road. And it means to be on the lookout for that answer. Now, another one is the one that we're going to look at today. And prayer must be offered by a forgiving heart. When ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So added to faith here in this passage is the necessity that we forgive those who have in any way injured us. This must never be overlooked. It is as important as praying in Jesus' name. It is as important as living an obedient life to the Lord. It is as important to pray according to the will and the mind of God, or to pray in faith. We will come to see that a lack of faith is not the only obstacle to effective prayer. Refusing to forgive or holding on to bitterness can also hinder our prayers. We learn about mountains being removed through the prayer of faith in this passage of Scripture. But can I say to you that sometimes a hard and an unforgiving heart is bigger than any mountain, and it stands in the way of our prayers being answered. And therefore, this is a very important subject to consider, and maybe one that we don't want to consider, but we must. For the Lord is teaching us vital lessons here. So the message is forgiveness and prayer. I'll see if I get beyond my first point. My first point is a very encouraging one, because we have here the immeasurable privilege. Jesus is speaking about it in this little line, when ye stand praying. Oh, dear child of God, we have been granted access to God. We have been given the high and the holy honor and privilege of entering into his presence and appearing before his throne of grace. We have an audience with the King. The golden scepter, as it were, is held out towards us. It's the scepter of acceptance, and we are invited to pray unto God. We are accepted through Christ, our mediator. It's the grounds of the redemptive work of Christ that we meet upon. The veil has been rent in twain. We can go right into the holiest of all, right before the throne of heavenly grace, and we can have an audience with the King. Oh, you want to think about that? The eternal, infinite, and unchangeable God permits us to have communion with him, to approach his throne, to make our wants and wishes known to him. He bends his ear. He inclines his ear, as the psalmist spoke about, and so we can come and stand before his presence. Never, ever take it for granted, either in your personal life or in your public responsibilities. You can stand with confidence before God, knowing that he is a God who hears our cries and answers our petitions, and he gives us our heart's desires. Prayer is our solemn responsibility. We are commanded to pray. Seek ye the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 11. Jesus says, watch and pray. He said this to his disciples, and it was in the context of public prayer. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And Paul told the church at Thessalonica to pray without ceasing. And we must remember this in the fainting age in which we live. This is a time when many of God's people have left off prayer and given up on prayer. And Jesus says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. The promises are exceeding great. We have every encouragement to pray, brethren and sisters. We often think of the text of Scripture in the church hall. It's the prayer meeting room, among other things. We have our children's work there, of course, but Thursday night we come to pray. And as we sit together around the Word of God and then we come to the throne of grace, there is the text on the wall that we often remind ourselves of. It's a very powerful text from Jeremiah 33 and 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. When you come into the New Testament, we think of what the Lord taught over and over again about prayer, and not least his words when he said, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And I suppose the key word is the first one is ask, A-S-K, because you have ask, you have S for seek, and you have K for knock, if we think of the English language. And the Lord wants us to do that. And he says, you shall receive. So we have every encouragement to seek the Lord. Don't forsake your quiet time with him. When you enter into what Jesus talked about, the closet, and you shut the door and you spend time with your Father in secret. And don't miss, where possible, the collective seasons of prayer in the church. It is our duty. And one day we'll stand before the Lord. We'll give an account as to how we lived our lives in every aspect of our Christian lives here upon the earth. Oh, Jesus says, when ye stand praying. It's a very interesting study, you know, about the postures of prayer. Because people had different postures in prayer. We read about different positions, if you like, of prayer in the Bible. We have saints who bowed their heads in prayer. We read about those who knelt before God in prayer. Some of them were on their faces, with their faces in the very dust, in great earnestness of prayer. And here we have the posture of standing. And this particular posture, standing, was usually when God's people were engaged in adoration, thanksgiving, worship, praise, and also intercession. Abraham, for example, stood before the Lord in Genesis chapter 18 when he pleaded with God for the city of Sodom. And the thought that he had in his mind is, my family is there. In that wicked city, Lot and his family had gone to live there, and it's going to be destroyed. And that had been made known to the Lord's servant Abraham. And when he heard that God was going to destroy the cities of the plain, he remembered, my family are there. And we're told that he stood. You see, it's the position of intercession. He stood on before the Lord, and he began to plead with God in light of the fact that Lot and his family were still in that city. Moses stood in the gate of the camp in Exodus chapter 26 as he called the people to repentance and consecration and interceded for them. Solomon stood before the Lord at the dedication of the temple. A great prayer that we read about in the Old Testament. Jehoshaphat stood to pray in 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 3 to 5. In this particular case, the Moabites and the Ammonites came against Jerusalem to battle. We are told that Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. That's a good thing to do when you fear and when you're overwhelmed. And you're thinking here of a great enemy that's going to come against you. It's a good thing to pray. And he set himself with great determination to seek the Lord. Indeed, we're told that all Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. It's a wonderful thing when you see that happening in a country where not only the leadership are coming to pray, but all of Judah representatives coming from all the cities to seek the face of God. And we learn that Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation in the house of the Lord as he prayed and interceded for his people. So it became customary for Jewish people to stand to pray while they were gathered in the synagogues for worship. Such posture has its roots in the Christian church as well. Many of our forefathers wrote about standing for public prayer. Today, we will stand up for a judge coming into the courtroom. Until recently, students would have stood up for their professors. In fact, whenever I was at school, so it's probably an old tradition, whenever I was at school and the teacher came into the room, all the people stood to their feet. Maybe that happens still in some schools today. I don't know. Until recent days, many churches encouraged their people to stand during prayer. Standing is, of course, a sign of respect. And if it's done among the sons of men, well, here we have it before the Lord himself. So the Lord speaks here about standing before him in prayer. We're coming to worship him. We're coming to plead with him. We're coming to intercede with the Lord. There is the thought here about praying for sinners, because it is the prayer of intercession. Or maybe when the enemy comes, we're going to seek the Lord because of the enemy that's coming in like a flood. Now, I tell you all this, not only to show you this particular posture in prayer that Jesus mentions as being one of intercession, but to highlight what is being taught by the Lord in this passage of Scripture. We're going to see how that as we stand praying and interceding, it must be with the spirit of forgiveness, or our prayers are useless and ineffective. I want you to think about that. I'm coming to stand before God, maybe to pray for some soul to be saved. That's the prayer of intercession. It happens probably in every prayer meeting that we have. I can't think of any prayer meeting where we've gathered, but sinners have been brought before the presence of God. And if we haven't pleaded for them by name, we have pleaded for them in a general sense, and we've asked the Lord to save souls. And so you want to think about that. I'm coming to pray about something that's very near to my heart. Some person that needs to be converted to Christ. It's a dear son or a daughter in the family. It's a dear mother or father, and they're getting near the end of the journey. Or some other relative. Or maybe it's a friend. We're so close to them and they're not saved. And they're going down to the road, in the road to hell. And I come to stand before God as an interceder like Abraham did, to plead that God will spare them, that God will save them and bring them to Christ. And as I stand there to pray, if there's something that's hindering my prayer, like what we shall come to see, an unforgiving spirit, not willing to forgive others, my prayers are hindered. God will not hear my prayer until I put some of these matters right. That's how important it is. We say we are concerned for revival. We want God to come. We prayed in the opening prayer today about the moving of God in this land in 1859. It's the year of grace. And I've often reminded you that not only was God working here in Northern Ireland, but he was working in England, Scotland, and Wales, and in the whole of the United Kingdom. In that year of revival, that year of grace, there was 1 million people that they know of profess faith in Christ. And we are asking the Lord to turn the tide again, to come and visit the nation. And we pray for this land of ours that's sliding quicker and faster into the very abyss of hell itself, as our people have turned their backs upon God. And we're asking, Lord, intervene. Lord, send revival. Do something in this nation of ours. And yet maybe all the time as we're standing as the intercessor before God, there's something here right in the heart that needs to be put right, because God will not hear us. Or maybe we are praying for the defeat of our enemies, and we have many enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we're battling with something in our lives, and yet we're not prepared to put things right in our lives. Maybe we're asking God's intervention in somebody's life, but all the while my prayers are hindered and unanswered because there's a serious matter that needs to be attended to first. And what is it? It's the matter of forgiveness. And this is what the Lord is teaching in this passage of Scripture as he speaks to his disciples particularly and to all men. He's saying, when you come to stand before my presence, yes, you're welcome. You're invited. You have every encouragement to pray. I've invited you to pray. I've called upon you to pray. I have given exceeding precious promises that I will answer your prayers. But you see, there are certain things that ought to be in the life of a godly person that will secure the answer to prayer, and this is one of them. There must be a forgiving spirit. And so we're going to leave it there. But next week we'll come really to the heart of the matter, and we'll come to see what the Lord is telling us here as we're standing, pleading in his presence before his throne. We'll come to see what the Lord is saying here about forgiveness if we have anything in our hearts against another person. And we will see particularly it's to do with the family of God. And I trust that God will speak and help us where necessary to put the thing right. And then know the blessing and know the sweet answer to the prayers that we make. Let's have a wee word of prayer now. Father, we thank you for the immeasurable privilege that is ours to stand before God, to enter your house and enter your presence and come before your throne, where you've given so many wonderful promises that you will answer. The guarantee that when we ask, we shall receive. When we seek, we shall find. When we knock, it shall be opened unto us. But Lord, we know there are certain terms upon which we must meet. And we've mentioned some of them today, and not least this matter of forgiveness. Lord, teach us the things that we need to know so that we will see mighty answers to our prayers in the day in which we live. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The closing hymn is 466. I'm trusting thee, Lord Jesus. What I will do is I will read you a verse of it, and then our sisters will play. And I will do that because I forgot to copy it in. Amen. But I have a copy of the hymn book here. And it's not going to be a solo. It's, I'm trusting thee, Lord Jesus, trusting only thee, trusting thee for full salvation, great and free. I'm trusting thee for pardon, at thy feet I bow, for thy grace and tender mercy, trusting now. Goes on to speak about trusting for cleansing, and trusting for guidance, and trusting that the Lord will supply our need every hour, trusting for power, trusting, knowing that God himself will never fail. I am trusting thee forever and for all. May the Lord help us to leave the house of God today, trusting in him, for he's the all-sufficient God. Now that we were to prayer, Father, again, apply your word to our hearts. As we dismiss and go our separate ways, we pray for the blessing of God upon the church, upon the people. Again, we thank you for our mothers and grandmothers, mothers in Israel. Thank you for the ladies in this church who serve the Lord, who are servants of Christ, who are servants of the church. We pray that you will bless them on this Mother's Day. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Those children that have been asked to do the little job can go to the door.